And good afternoon. You're listening to Ken Hudnall. This is the Ken Hudnall Show. Coming to you from our studios right here in exciting El Paso, Texas. Gateway to the Old West. And the most haunted city in the country. Well, I've been away for a few days. I had to have some surgery on my throat. Gonna have to have another procedure shortly. So you may hear some encore presentations, and I apologize for that. Today's June the 30th, 181st day of the year. 184 days remain till the year's over with. In the year 296, Pope Marcellinus begins his papacy. 763, the Byzantine army of Emperor Constantine V defeats the Bulgarian forces in the Battle of Antialis. 1422, the Battle of Arbedo between the Duke of Milan and the Swiss cantons take place. 1521, Spanish forces defeat a combined French and Navarrese army at the Battle of Noyon, and that's during the Spanish conquest of Iberia and Navarra. 1559, King Henry II of France, as predicted by Nostradamus, is mortally wounded in a jousting match against Gabriel, the Count of Montgomery. The lance penetrated the visor of his helmet and entered his eye. 1632, the University of Tartu was founded. 1651, the Deluge. Kamieniecki Uprising, the Battle of Bialystoko ends with a Polish victory. 1688, the Immortal Seven issue the invitation to William, which would culminate in the Glorious Revolution. Now, there are seven notable English nobles called the Immortal Seven. And they issued the invitation to William III, Prince of Orange. The actual heir apparent to the throne, James Francis Edward Stuart, had been born to King James II of England, and he was... King James was not well thought of, and he was baptized a Catholic. So the letter asked that the Prince of Orange use military intervention to force the king to make his eldest daughter Mary his heir. And the letter alleged that the newborn prince was an impostor. 1758, Seven Years' War, Habsburg-Austrian forces destroy a Prussian reinforcement and supply convoy in the Battle of Dummstadt, helping to expel Prussian King Frederick the Great from Moravia. 1794, Northwest Indian War, Native American forces under Blue Jacket attack Fort Recovery. 1805, under an act to divide the Indiana Territory into two separate governments adopted by the Congress, January 11th, 1805, the Michigan Territory was organized. 1859, French acrobat Charles Blondin crosses Niagara Falls on a tightrope. 1860 Oxford Evolution debate at the Oxford University Museum of Natural History takes place. 1864, President Abraham Lincoln granted Yosemite Valley to California for public use, resort, and recreation. 1882, Charles Guiteau was hanged in Washington, D.C. for the assassination of President James Garfield. 1886, the first transcontinental train trip across Canada departs from Montreal, Quebec. It arrives in Port Moody, British Columbia, July 4th. 1892, the Homestead Strike begins near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Excuse me. 1905, Albert Einstein sends the article on the electrodynamics of moving bodies in which he introduces special relativity for publication. He sent it to Annalen der Physik, the Physics Annual. 1906, Congress passes the Meat Inspection Act and the Pure Food and Drug Act. 1908, the Tunguska event, the largest impact event on Earth in recorded human history, happened on this date, resulting in a massive explosion over eastern Siberia. 1912, the Regina Cyclone, Canada's deadliest tornado event, kills 28 people in Regina, Saskatchewan. 1916, World War I, in a day Sussex died. Elements of the Royal Sussex Regiment take heavy casualties in the Battle of the Boar's Head at Richebourg-la-Levée in France. 1921, President Harding appoints former President William Howard Taft Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. 1922, in Washington, D.C., Secretary of State Charles Hughes and Dominican Ambassador Francisco Peinado signed the Hughes-Peinado Agreement, which ends the U.S. occupation of the Dominican Republic. 1934, the Night of the Long Knives, Hitler's violent purge of his political rivals in Germany takes place on this date. 1936, Emperor Haile Selassie of Abyssinia appeals for aid to the League of Nations against Italy's invasion of his country. 1937, the world's first emergency telephone number, 999, introduced in London. 1944, World War II, the Battle of Cherbourg ends with the fall of a strategically valuable port to American forces. 1953, the first Chevrolet Corvette rolls off the assembly line in Flint, Michigan. 1956, the TWA Super Constellation and the United Airlines DC-7 collide above the Grand Canyon in Arizona, and they crash, killing all 128 on board both aircraft. 1959, a U.S. Air Force F-100 Super Sabre from Kadena Air Base in Okinawa crashes in a nearby elementary school, kills 11 students, plus 6 residents from the local neighborhood. 1960, Belgian Congo gains independence as Republic of the Congo. 1963, Chiaculli bombing. A car bomb intended for Mafia boss Salvatore Greco kills 7 police officers and military personnel near Palermo. 1966, the National Organization for Women, the U.S.'s largest feminist organization, is founded on this date. 1968, Pope Paul VI issues the Credo of the People of God. He would know. He's blessed. 1971, the crew of the Soviet Soyuz 11 spacecraft are killed when air supply escapes through a faulty valve. 1972, the first leap seconds added to the UTC time system. 1974, the Baltimore Municipal Strike of 1974 begins. 1977, a Southeast Asia Treaty Organization disbands. 1985, 39 American hostages from the hijacked TWA Flight 847 are freed in Beirut after being held for 17 days. 1986, the Supreme Court rules on Bowers v. Hardwick. States can, in fact, outlaw homosexual acts between consenting adults. 1990, East Germany and West Germany merge their economies. 1994, during a test flight of an Airbus A330-300 at Toulouse-Blagnac Airport, the aircraft crashes, killing all 7 people on board. 1997, the United Kingdom transfers sovereignty over Hong Kong to China. 2005, MTV Canada is rebranded as Razor. 2007, a Jeep Cherokee filled with propane canisters drives to the entrance of Glasgow Airport in Scotland in a failed terrorist attack. This was linked to the 2007 London car bombs that had taken place the day before. 2009, if it had put him in a Pinto and it rammed it from the rear, everything would have blown up. 2009, Yemeni Flight 626, an Airbus A310, crashes into the Indian Ocean near Comoros, killing 152 of the 153 people on board. A 14-year-old girl named Bahia Bakari survives the crash. 2013, 19 firefighters die controlling a wildfire in Arnell, Arizona. 2013, protests begin around Egypt against President Mohamed Morsi and the ruling Freedom and Justice Party. That leads to their overthrow during the 2013 Egypt coup d'etat. 2015, a Hercules C-130 military aircraft with 113 people on board crashes in a residential area of Medan, Indonesia. 116 people die. 2019, Donald Trump becomes the first sitting U.S. president to visit the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. That's North Korea, to those of you with a classical education. A lot of births and deaths on this date in history. Holidays and observances, Christian Feast Day, Marshall, Theobald of Provence, First Martyrs of the Church of Rome, Armed Forces Day in Guatemala, Asteroid Day, International Observance, General Prayer Day in Central African Republic, Independence Day in the Democratic Republic of Congo, Navy Day in Israel, Philippine-Spanish Friendship Day in the Philippines, Revolution Day in the Sudan, and in the Dominican Republic, it's Teachers Day. All right, let's see if we got anything else. In 350, the Roman usurper Nepotianus of the Constantinian dynasty is defeated and killed by troops of the usurper Margentius in Rome. 833, Louis is crowned King of Austria. 849, Otto the First, also known as Otto the Great, gives away the Bishopric of Utrecht. 1294, Jews are expelled from Bern, Switzerland. 1371, Arnold II of Horn, chosen Bishop of Utrecht. 1377, the foundation stone is laid for Ulm Minster in Ulm, Germany. It's not going to be completed until 1890, but it will become the tallest church in the world. 1397, Denmark, Norway, and Sweden signed the Union of Kalmar under Queen Margaretha. 1520, Spanish conquistadors are expelled from Tenochtitlan following an Aztec revolt against their rule under Hernan Cortes during the Night of Sadness, as it was called. A lot of soldiers drowned trying to escape, and the Aztec Emperor Montezuma II dies in the struggle. 1548, Augsburg Interim, issued by Charles V, becomes law. Orders Lutherans to return to Catholic practices with some concessions. 1596, English and Dutch fleet began the attack of the Spanish fleet moored at Cadiz during the Anglo-Spanish War. Also leads to the looting and burning of the city of Cadiz. 1598, King Philip II of Spain moves to El Escorial Royal Palace. He dies there 3 months later. Surprise, surprise. 1607, Annales Ecclesiasticae. The Scientific History of Catholicism is published. 1643, the Battle of Adwalton Moor. The Royalists beat the Parliamentary Army during the First English Civil War. 1648, the French Premier, Cardinal Mazarin, calls St. Louis Chamber together. 1665, the number of deaths in London from the Great Plague during June of 1655 is recorded as 6,137 in 1 month. 1688, the Whig lords question Prince William III of Orange on Protestantism. I don't know why everybody's so fascinated with religion. 1690, the Battle of Beachy Head. The French under Tourville beat the Dutch English fleet. 1704, the first trial for piracy by the British Admiralty Court outside of Britain finds Captain John Quelch and 5 crew members guilty. They're sentenced to hang the same day. 1722, the Hungarian Parliament condemns Emperor Charles VI's pragmatic sanctions. 1734, the Russian army occupies Danzig. 1741, Pope Benedict XIV, encyclical forbidding traffic in alms. 1746, 1755, the Philippines closes all non-Catholic Chinese restaurants. 1794, the siege of Fort Recovery in Ohio. Anglo-American Army holds off an attack on the fort by an Indian Confederacy. 1815, naval hero Stephen Decatur ends attacks by Algerian pirates. 1834, Congress creates the Indian Territory, now known as Oklahoma. 1851, Battle of Virevoit. Basotho forces led by Mososhu defeat the British over the British imposed Walden Line. 1861, the CSS Sumter slips past the USS Brooklyn Brigade. 1862, the Battle of Glendale, or Fraser's Farm as it's known. That's day six of 7 days of battle. Virginia Confederate assault attack during the Civil War. 1862, French writer Gustave Flaubert completes his novel Slumbo. 1863, the battle in Hanover, Pennsylvania. There are 80 casualties. 1865, 8 alleged conspirators in the assassination of Lincoln are found guilty. A number of the folks involved in planning his assassination were members of his cabinet. Of course, they are too important to be accused. 1870, Ada Capley becomes the first American female law college graduate. 1871, Guatemala revolts for agrarian reforms. 1876, Serbia declares war on Turkey. 1879, the ex-Khedive Ismail Pasha leaves Cairo with a train full of stolen goods. 1881, Henry Highland Garnet named Minister to Liberia. 1893, the Excelsior Diamond. It's 995 carats. Then the world's largest was discovered in Jagersfontein Mine in South Africa. 1894, Korea declares independence from China, asks for Japanese aid. 1896, William Hathaway patents an electric stove in the U.S. 1898, the Winton Motor Carriage Company published the first known automobile ad in Scientific American. The headline was "Dispense with a Horse." Of course, of course. 1905, in Russia, the Potemkin arrives in Odessa, where sailors take the bodies of dead crewmen ashore. The sailors join civilians in revolutionary actions of the 1905 revolution. 1905, the crew of the Russian battleship Georgi Pobedonosets mutants in support of the Potemkin, which mutinied 3 days later. 1906, John Hope becomes the first black president of Morehouse College. 1908, I talked about the Tunguska fireball earlier, but this fireball, thought to have been caused by the airburst of a large meteoroid or comet, or perhaps the power supply of a UFO ignited, flattened 80 million trees near the stony Tunguska River in Inessaitsk in Russia, in the largest impact event in recorded history. 1914, Mahatma Gandhi, his first arrest took place after campaigning for Indian rights in South Africa. 1916, British General Douglas Haig reported the men are in splendid spirits the day before the Battle of the Somme begins. Yeah, let's see what else, if anything. 1933, 50,000 people demonstrate in Antwerp against fascism and war. You know, my throat is bad enough. I'm not going to do my normal show, but I am going to make a few remarks that I think need to be made. We have seen so many officials come out pushing their flavor of the month, whatever group they want to support. But there's one group of Americans that have been totally forgotten, and that's the disabled veteran. My own congresswoman, who I've known for 20-some-odd years and helped get elected. If you want to see her get excited, show her a group of people undocumented trying to cross the border, and she'll just move heaven and earth to try to help them. But you go to her as a disabled veteran with a violation of your right to due process or your civil rights, she'll yawn and wander off. Doesn't care. Now, we've had the vice president down here going to solve the world's problems regarding immigration. Went to the wrong location. But still, she has shown this administration support for undocumented immigrants. How about support for the disabled veteran? In 2014, now, veterans have access to a lot of benefits. And 2014, we put a roof on this house. The city said they were just the most wonderful people who ever wore shoe leather. And later on, I found out why the city said that. Because they take us out to lunch every day. That's called a bribe. But they bribe the inspectors to the point the inspectors don't even bother to come out and inspect their work. They just sign off on it from their desk. Well, the roof that they put on this house was absolutely... I could have done a better job. Well, supposed to be 5 days. Took 6 months. And what brought it to a halt is one of the owners of the company met me in the front yard and he said, "Look, I know you got access to special adaptive housing grants. And I know that you have X amount of dollars available to you because you've already used it once. But there's still more money, and I want half of it. I'm entitled to it." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "You can go get the VA to throw money into this. We want half of that money." Now, they'd already been paid $24,000 on a $19,000 roof, and they totally destroyed the house in the process. The adjuster for Liberty Mutual Insurance Company gave them every piece of information on us he could. Our mortgage company, our banking information, everything Liberty Mutual had. And they were going to get half that free VA money or die trying. They have had us in court or arbitration for 8 solid years. In fact, it was arranged for our attorney to be offered a judgeship if you dropped the case. What they didn't know is I'd been to law school myself. The sad thing is their own bond. To be a roofing contractor in this town, you have to have a bond posted. And their bonding company was so mortified because they apparently singled out disabled veterans and did their best to screw them over because, after all, you know, veterans are a good source of income for the unscrupulous contractor. Most are old, ill, and they'll pay just to make you go away. Well, the contract we had signed with them said that arbitration was the only recourse if there was a disagreement. But as soon as they didn't get what they wanted, they sued. And there was a jackleg lawyer standing right there, ready to jump in and protect their rights. Well, he was with a firm that had represented me for over 20 years, so the state bar said, you can't do that, Ace. They have now, as of right now, had 14 different attorneys. Now, I mentioned the bonding company. They went to court. They sued me and another disabled veteran and told the court that there had been so many complaints and claims against the bond, they wanted out of it. They wanted to give the bond money to the court and let the court pay off whoever it was, because their own investigation showed that the roof did not meet local code. In fact, that was one of the few things my attorney did that was logical, is he wrote a letter based on his investigation showing that the inspector who signed off on our roof never set foot on the property. So the court granted the bonding company's request. In other words, the court, in granting that bonding company's request, found that the roof didn't meet code. Well, the enterprising jackleg lawyer said, yeah, but that doesn't mean the roof failed. It just didn't meet code. He didn't use the word fail. So we wound up in a second suit. And I was moving for summary judgment when my own attorney decided he was going to go off and be a judge. When the judge in that case said, well, he's out. What you going to do now? And I said, I'm going to represent myself. Well, you can't do that. Yes, I can. Well, that makes you a pro se, and these are his words. There's not a pro se I know of who knows how to do things right. I said, well, Judge, in my misspent youth, I represented quite a number of clients, and I won most of my cases. So what did... Now, this is the same judge that during his election took a $10,000 donation from the attorneys for the Walmart victims, because they were suing Walmart because there had been a massacre in a local Walmart store. A guy from either Dallas or Houston wanted to come down to El Paso and shoot Mexicans, is what he said. And when the judge was questioned about accepting that money, oh, that wasn't a bribe. That was just a recognition of his judicial brilliance. Well, he wound up quietly giving the money back, but that's not the point. The point is, this man believes he's God's gift to the legal profession. But rather than fight with me, he sent it to arbitration. And what did they do? They submitted a forged contract to the arbitrating organization, and written on it was the name of our mortgage company, and information about the special adaptive housing program I had access to as a disabled veteran. Now, under HIPAA, the Health Insurance and Portability and Accountability Act, HIPAA, I could have got them fined. Well, what did the enforcement organization, the Health and Human Services, say? Oh, well, golly gee whiz, you know, Liberty Mutual, who released this information, they're just such a wonderful company, and they managed to get through the 180-day period after their release before you said anything, and they're home free. They can do as they want to. Well, Liberty Mutual, their attorneys, the roofers, and anybody else that wanted to, has been in and out of my medical records like a revolving door. Totally illegal. But I'm just a pesky disabled veteran with no rights. So, after putting up with all the crap that they were doing, I filed a RICO action. Named the attorneys. And, they just had a fit, because after all, you don't sue attorneys. They're above the law. I sued the attorneys, I sued the roofers, and both insurance companies, and everybody defaulted. They did not respond within a required time limit. But you see, the reason that that doesn't matter, according to the arbitrator, I sued him too, was I'm a disbarred attorney with no rights. Now, 40 years ago, I represented a black family in the state of Georgia. And I didn't know that that just was not allowed. He was a black insurance salesman for Nationwide Insurance. And he was a go-getter. And he put together quite an estate. But he contracted cancer. And he couldn't work as hard as he worked. And they got into debt. And they wanted to do a Chapter 11 reorganization. And they went to an attorney in the town. This was in the state of Georgia. Who was known, and if you want to read more about it, I wrote a book called Why Would They Say It? It's at Amazon. And the attorney they went to brought in a local contractor. One of the good old boys. And he was going to take over all their property, pay off all their debts, and they could start afresh with nothing. And they were going to sign the agreement. But the couple took their college-age daughter with them. Now, remember, they're a black family, and the daughter was a radical from the University of Georgia. So she asked questions, and she got the contractor frustrated. And he looked at the father, and he said, "Boy, I've made you a damn good offer, and you better accept it." Well, at that point, all three of them erupted. And somebody told them about me, so they came over to my office, and I listened to the story, and I said, "That doesn't sound like the attorney that I know." Because I thought the guy was a friend. And I called him, and I said, "Before I decide whether to accept them, I want to see if what they're telling me is the truth. Because if it is, it sounds to me like malpractice." And he forbid me to take that case. Well, that was like a red flag in front of a bull. So I took the case. A few days later, I'm in front of Judge John H. Land, the senior judge in the circuit, and he was the kingmaker in the state of Georgia at that time. Now, this was in the late 80s. If Judge Land wanted you to be governor, by God, you're going to be governor. So I was doing a case in front of him, and I finished up and gave him the order to sign. And he said, "Go with me to lunch." Well, even though he was a friend of my father's, I really didn't know him that well. I said, "Sure, why not?" So we're sitting there having lunch, and he said, "I just want to tell you that if you can learn one thing, you've got a hell of a career in front of you." I said, "What's that one thing?" "You got to learn what color you are." I said, "Say what?" He said, "Attorneys in the state of Georgia make their fortunes in several different ways. The first way, the public way, is legal fees and what they get for winning cases. And another way that's not that well known is taking the property of their clients, which you can do legally." I said, I don't quite understand what you're telling me, Judge. He said, "Well, let me put it to you frankly." And I'm using his language. He said, "Nigger, spicks, and queers do not need to own property. It's to go to those of us that know what to do with it." And you interfered in something that was being worked on by this attorney and the contractor. And you need to back out and let them finish. I said, "I took their money and I gave my word." He said, "I've already talked to the bankruptcy judge. He will release you from representing them." He said, "If you do this, we will let you be in the inner bar." I said, "What's the inner bar?" Well, the inner bar are those who get the benefit of the doubt. If it's a coin toss as to whether you win or lose, you win. And as I say, a lot of attorney fortunes are made this way. And if I don't back out, then you'll be considered a traitor to your race by the state bar, and they will destroy you. I said, "If I don't do anything wrong, how can they destroy me?" Easily. I said, "Well, Judge, the problem is, I gave the man my word." He said, "It's your career. It's your future." Well, he was right. They destroyed me. They tried to beat me in court several times and couldn't. So, they resigned me from the bar. They submitted a resignation allegedly signed by me and held a secret hearing that I wasn't made aware of and literally destroyed my life. I've tried several times to oppose them. I mean, this alleged resignation wasn't witnessed, wasn't notarized. Just somebody scrawled my name on it, and that was accepted. Because I was a traitor to my race. Now, these are the same people that are telling you how wonderful they are in Georgia. And I took the New Mexico bar, one of the highest scores I'd seen. And someone from the State Bar of Georgia showed up because I had explained it all to the New Mexico Bar, and they said, "Not a big deal. We'll hold a hearing, and you show us you didn't get due process and what happened there, and you're in." Well, they came and they bribed the official appointed to run the panel that was to determine that I get due process. He wrote a letter accepting what they offered. I understand from one of the few friends I still have in the system, they have paid over $3 million in bribes in various states to keep me from being readmitted to practice law. Because I'm a traitor to my race. I don't understand. Some people don't have rights. And now it's raised its head again. These roofers, apparently, in the eyes of 14 attorneys in the state in the city of El Paso, Texas, have a right to my veterans' benefits just because they do. If it was a medal we were arguing about, it'd be called stolen valor. But instead, they're entitled to the financial benefits that accrue to me as a disabled veteran. And no one can understand why I won't just let them have the money. So, and with all that going on, I got the medical issue that has popped up. And when it was looked like I was going to have a hearing with the arbitrator last week, I said, "I can't do it. I'm having surgery." One of the attorneys said, "That's the best time to have the hearing because he can't say anything." So, just something for y'all to think about. There are people who are less than scrupulous. Oh, and the city as said, the roof did not, in two different letters by two different inspectors, did not meet local code. But they are such wonderful people, these roofers, who take our inspectors out to lunch every day, we're not going to say anything against them. I went to the former mayor, DeMargo, who I had known for 20-some-odd years, refused to talk with me because I wasn't important enough. The current mayor won't return phone calls. His name is Oscar Leeser. And everybody thinks he's such a wonderful person, but he is supporting crooks. So, it's getting more and more difficult to talk. I'm going to have another surgery to try to correct the issue. So what I'm going to do is cut this show short. I'll try to do another segment tomorrow, but I do want y'all to think about the fact that in all these stories you hear about the homeless and you know, Newsom is just showering with money in California, and the undocumented immigrants who can just get our congresswoman in a lather and legally she can't spend a dime on them because they are not her constituents. My last request for assistance from her office never even responded to it. That's May 11th. So, if you believe disabled veterans have a right to have their rights protected, I suggest you you call your elected officials and just ask them why they don't help disabled veterans. I went to the secretary of the VA, two different secretaries of the VA, and they lied to me both times. Oh, we're gonna jump right on. My medical records in the custody of the Department of Veterans Affairs, they've done everything but put them on the bulletin board. I have pulmonary disease with lung scarring caused by a screw-up by a VA doctor. And the VA said, I'll file a tort claim. So I did. So what did they do? They gave him an hour and a half unrestricted access to my records to change things so he'd look good. And nobody sees anything wrong with that. I was accused of damaging his career even though he damaged me physically. And I'm just an SOB because I didn't understand that this man was somehow blessed by God. Well, on that note, I'm going to wrap up today's show. Until tomorrow at this time, this is Ken Hudnall for the Ken Hudnall Show, saying have a truly great evening.